Welcome back to Amud Yomi. Today we're learning Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph and Masechtas Megillah. Learning as always in the merit that our hostages should return home safely soon, that our soldiers should return home, that Israel should emerge victorious. Says the Gemara, really beginning on the last word on Chav Ches Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Vatlin Tam Torah Lo Tzi HaMeis. We stop learning, interrupt our learning, so that we can carry out the dead to burial. Achnasas Kala, and to accompany a bride to her wedding. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. We said Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, that he would interrupt his learning in order to carry the dead and to bury the bride. Bamed Bar Mamurim, when was this said? Shein Sham Kol Tzarcho. This was only provided that there was no one else to do it. Avol, Yesh Sham Kol Tzarcho, when there's other people to do it. And we don't mean to actually do the burial, but we mean enough people that will honor, it will be an honor to the deceased that they have a full funeral procession. Aim of Iceland. So if there were enough people who were there, that it gave honor to the deceased, he wouldn't interrupt his learning. But comic culture. So the Gemara asks, how do you quantify what exactly is enough? Amar Rav Shmuel bar Inoya Mishmei Derav, Tresi Alfi Gavri. There were 12,000 men. Vishiza Alfi Shibur and 6,000 men who were blowing shofars, trumpeting the in sadness. Ramalane, some say Tresi Alfi Gavri Umayav Shita Alfi Shibur. Some say it's 12,000 men among our 6,000 with shofars. Okay. Ula Amar. For example, if the men all go to the gate of the cemetery, Rav Sheshes Amar, just as when the Torah was given, so it should be removed. Just as when the Torah was given 600,000, 600,000 people. So this actually raises the obvious question, and that is, like, if there are funerals all the time, and the funerals are coming all the time, so why is it that we don't interrupt our learning in every minute? You live in Israel, every minute you should be interrupting your learning and going to B'nai Brak, going to Yerushalayim, going to wherever it may be. And the Poskim's clearly admitting because we don't do that. And the question is why. The Poskim give a number of reasons, and they're not they're a little tenuous, but again, it's just substantiating the minhag because otherwise you couldn't live. You know, I think Shlomo Zalman said, funerals don't run on time, you're not chayav to go somewhere when you don't know when it's going to be time. Others say that, you know, you're only supposed to give up a fifth of your, I think Rav Asher Weiss says, a fifth of your money to do a mitzvah's asay, and time is worth, you know, is valuable. So the number of reasons given, but point is it's not done, but that's what the Mishnah says. Okay. So this ruling applies that you have to interrupt your learning to go for someone who learns Torah, learns Mishnah. One who learns Mishnah, less Leishiura. One who teaches Mishnah is a Rebbe, there's no limit, and everyone has to stop learning to go. Tanya, learn the following Brisa. Come and see how beloved the Jewish people are before God. Whenever the Jews are exiled, God goes out with them. The Shechina goes out with them. They were exiled to Egypt, and the Shechina went with them. It's a pasuk in Tehillim, I believe. Shmuel, he says, they were exiled. Was I revealed to your father's house when they were in Egypt? When they went to Babel, the Shechina went with them. Shnema, lemanichem shilachti bibala. For your sake, I have been sent to Babylon. This is in Yeshayahu. Ma'akshin asin legalo shchinimam. And also, when we are in the future, when we are destined to be redeemed, I now in our galus, the Shechina goes with us. Shnema, v'shem Hashem alkecha eshuvasecha. And Hashem will return with you, with your returning exiles. That is talking about the loss of Lavo at the final salvation, redemption. It talks about how God's going to return with us as well. Thus, we see God always goes with us. It doesn't say he will bring back, rather he will return. So that God, and so to speak, puts himself into exile when the Jewish people are in exile. The Babel Hecha. Now, the Gemara says, where in Babel, where in Babylon, can you find the Shechinah? In the Shul in Hutzel. And in the shul that in the Harda that was once destroyed and now rebuilt, it's referred to as the destroyed and rebuilt shul. And don't just think that it's found in both places. Rather, sometimes it's here and sometimes it's there. I don't really know what this means. Amar Abai, tastily, I should get the reward. Why? Whenever I'm within one parsa, which is 800, which is, you know, almost a mile, over a mile. Almost, excuse me, it's more than that, it's almost 2 miles from these shuls, I would travel out of my way to go and daven there because the Shechina was there. Avod Shmuel, the Levi, have a Yosef Knishta, the Shaf Yosef in Harda. So Shmuel's father and Levi were sitting in the shul in Harda, the shul that was destroyed and rebuilt. I see Shechina, and the Shechina appears. Shemakol Rigisha Kohenafka. They heard this loud commotion and they rose and left. Okay. Rav Sheish Sabiyasib Be Knishta Tishab Yasib Yahar. One time Rav Sheish is sitting in the shul, destroyed and rebuilt Shul Narda. Isis Shchina Velo Nafak. The Shchina comes and he doesn't leave. Also Malchashir has become Mabai Sulei. So the angels come and they threaten him. Amalfano said, Rav Sheish turns to God. Goes, Rabbanu Shalom God, Olu V'Sheina Olu Me. Nidchem if they me. Concerning someone who's unfortunate, that's me, and he called himself unfortunate because he was blind, and a fortunate one are the angels, whom do you defer? Amalo Shafku, so God said to the angels, leave him alone, let him be, even though my presence is here. Next. V'yu lahem l'mitishma'at, God tells Yechezkel in exile, they'll have a minor sanctuary, mitishma'at, Amar B'Yitzlok, Eilu but the Knesset is about the Midrashah of Babel, these are the synagogues and study halls in Babel, Babel's a stand-in for the diaspora. Lazar Omar, Zeb Beis Rabbeinu Shem Babel. This is actually the house of Rav in Babel. Darish Rava, Ma'adik say, what does the Pasuk say? Hashem Ma'on Ata Ha'yisilanu. Hashem, you've been an abode for us in Tehillim. Eilu Bat the Knesset is about the Midrashos. That in lieu of the temple, we have the shoals and the base medrashes where we can go and be in God, and bask in God's presence. Omar Ba'i, Ma'adik Shavei Gersina about the Matzilin B'Bei Knishta. Because I used to learn at home and David and Shul. Came to Shem and Lahadi Kamar David. When I heard that David said, Hashem Ahavti Ma'on Beisecha, God, I love the abode of your house. Have a Girsi Beis Kanishta. I learned in the Shul. Tanya, I learned the following Brisa. Well, Kafar Omer, Asidin, but the Knesset, but the Midrash, Babel, Yikvu, Be'er Tisrael. In the future, all the Shuls and the study halls in Babel are going to be established in Israel. Shinemra, as the Pasuk says, Ki Katovar, Bahara, Mukarma, B'mayim Yavo. So, you know, you always wonder, you spend so much time investing in building these beautiful beautiful shuls and base medrashes in America. Why? You know, there's a finite amount of time that could be here in America. Maybe one generation, two generations, maybe 10 generations. But we know the future of these shuls are not going to be in America. And the answer is, yeah. But in the future, it's seemingly God's going to pick up these shuls or he's going to reestablish them in Israel. Whereas when it comes to everything else, we have to ask ourselves, is it really worth setting down roots here? Because after all, those roots aren't going to go very deep. Because whether it's our generation, the next generation, or at some point, hopefully soon, it's all going to be in Israel. Hopefully, because we want that to be. We make that decision to go and plant our roots for eternity in Israel. I just heard recently on a podcast with Shalom Rosner, he was talking about the difficulty of the first generation to make Aliyah. He goes, but what I kept reminding myself was, I'm not just moving here temporarily. Like, I'm moving here for eternity, and I'm planting roots for eternity, and therefore it's worth it. I might struggle, but my children won't, their children won't, with, you know, coming to a new country, and this is forever. This is lost. This is for now and forevermore. Okay, now how do we know the shuls are going to end up being in Israel? The pasuk, he quoted a pasuk from Yo that says, for like the Mount Tabor and among the mountains, and like Mount Carmel, Paro shall come into the sea. Okay, Aladvaram Kavachomer. It's a Kavachomer. So Mount Carmel and Mount Tabor, which came, the Medrash seems to imply the mountains themselves came, or the angels of the mountains, again, however you want to understand it, came to Mount Sinai to learn Torah when the God revealed the Torah, but they connect, and then Nikvah Meretz Yisrael, and then there, later God established them in Israel. But the Knesset, but the Midrash Mekarim Torah is certainly a shul and a study hall with Torah is read and Torah is disseminated, and Torah is taught. Halachas Kamakama certainly they'll be established in Israel. And I'm not totally sure what this means, but basically the mountains ended up at Har Sinai, so certainly the thing that teach Torah will be there. Dorish Bar Karpa, Ma'ay Diksiv Lama Taritzun Harim Gavonim. Why do you prance, O mountains of majestic peaks, in Tehillim? What does that mean? So he says, explains as follows. Yotze Bas Gavomra, a heavenly voice came out and said, Lama Tertu Din Im Sinai. Why do you all want to cross a din, come sort of a lawsuit with Har Sinai? Seemingly, what's going on here? Kulchem Baale Mumin Ata Etz Sinai. So apparently all the mountains were protested and sued, whatever that means, in the heavenly court. Why should Mount Sinai get the right to have the Torah given on it? And the answer is because all of you have a blemish compared to Sinai. What's this blemish? Ksiv Hacha Givonim. It says they're lofty. Ksiv Hasam. It says elsewhere in Devarim, O Giben O Duck, someone who has abnormally long eyelashes or has a cataract. This is referring to a blemish and a cataract. And just as so, these mountains have a blemish. And what's the blemish? They're lofty. Amar Ashi, Shmaya Haiman Diyahir Balmumu. Someone who is haughty, someone who acts with hubris, is considered a blemished person. Okay, next the Gemara continues. In order to kapandaria, you can't make a shul into a short cup. My kapandaria, what's a kapandaria? I'm a Rava. Kapandaria kishma, what it implies. My kishma, what does it imply? Command amr, ad makim kimna ad ayul baha. Person says, instead of going around these homes, I'm going to make a shortcut through it. Amr avo, imha yishvil mikar mutar. What if there was a path, there was a thoroughfare that passed through an area, and one day you should go up and they decide to build a shul there, so that's permissible to walk through. Amr av nachmar yitzlach, a person goes to the shul for whatever reason, not because they want to make a shortcut, mutalas is kapandaria, they can use it as a shortcut once they didn't go in for that purpose. Someone who goes into Davin can make it into a shortcut. So the Pasuk tells us, that in Yechezkel, that when people come, when the people of the land came before Hashem on festivals, whoever enters by way of the north gate to the Prash himself shall leave by the way of the south gate. That the way you enter the Beis HaMikdash, you had to leave it through a different gate. And the Gra says the same thing with their shuls. If you go in one door, come out another door, and perhaps the reason behind this is to tell you that you're a different person after you encounter the Shekhinah. Therefore, you demonstrate that by coming out a different door. Okay. If grass sprouts in a shul, don't uproot it because this is Rabbi Yehuda, we want two people to be motivated by the grief they see that the beautiful once beautiful shul now has moss and grass and mold growing from it. But Tanya says another mashain tolish ubacha. Another verse says you can't uproot in order to feed it to your animals. I will tell you, you can uproot it and leave it there just so I guess it dies. Kitana na mas nisan tolish umachotnan. So he says no. When the Mishnah says you cannot uproot it, we learn only with regards to uproot to feed to the animals. However, merely uprooting it is actually mutter. So that's the qualifier. Tana rabbanan. Basic forest ain't nohagin by Makalas Rosh in a cemetery. One should not act with levity. Ain't marine behind behemoth. You should not graze your animals in there. You shouldn't run a canal of water through them. Nor should you pick grass in them. If you do pick it, you should burn it on the spot out of respect for the dead. Just quickly, someone's asked me if they can use a cemetery to go running in. It's not like quiet and a little refuge in a city. So, no. You can't graze your animals in there. That makes a lot of sense. And the water, you have a field in one side of the cemetery, so the quickest way to get water there is to go through the cemetery. You can't do. And you can't pick grass in them. So this is talking about you picking grass because you want to use it for feed. But obviously you can manicure in the cemetery. You can tend the lawn. Yeah. So what does it mean out of respect for the dead? So the mission ends at the end, right? Sorry, the Bryce is at the end out of respect for the dead. So if you're talking about respect for the dead, that's where you can't pick the grass. But if you burn on the spot, what respect for the dead is there? It's not so respectful. You're burning it there. So meaning Ella Aresha. Rather talking about the beginning, you conduct yourself in a cemetery, you have to do it in a way that's respectful for the dead. Okay, we'll do the next mission and we'll stop. The mission is now, once we talk about all the Megillah, we're going to kind of end this Masechta off talking about other readings. So we'll start off with the Ara Parshios, which we're in the middle of right now. This week we're reading Parshas Zohar, which, by the way, on the podcast in White Torah, you can find I gave a shiur on Parshas Zohar a few years ago about the halachas behind it. Okay, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shecholos B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out of Shabbos, according to Parshas Shkolim, that week we read Parshas Shkolim in the Shul. Chalios B'Socha Shabbos. What if Rosh Chodesh falls out within the week? Makdim L'Shavar. Like this year, we read Parshas Shkolim the week before Rosh Chodesh Adar base. Masikim L'Shabbos Acheres. Next week, which was this past Shabbos, we don't do anything. No, none of we interrupt the four parshas reading. It's just a regular Shabbos. Mishnia, the next Shabbos, which is this upcoming week, Zohar, read Zohar, which Zohar, as we're going to see, is always juxtaposed to Purim, close to Purim. The Shlishis, the next week after that, Paraduma, we parshas Parah. Revius, the fourth Shabbos, we read HaChodesh Zelechem, the Chodesh, the Chamish is Chodesh Lit Kisidron. On the fifth Shabbos, we go back to our regular scheduled programming. The Koma Sikin, for all Yom Tovim, we interrupt the regular Shabbos reading to read about Yom Div. Rosh Chodeshim also, on Rosh Chodeshim, Purim, but Tainus Uemodos will be on Kippurim as well. We have a special reading on those days. I wish you all a wonderful day.